Happy Monday. It's the Fan Pregame up on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Ailish and Justin here for the next hour ahead of the big slate of Stanley Cup playoff games. Game 2 between Toronto and Boston, that's at 7 p.m. on Sportsnet, followed by Game 1 between L.A. and Edmonton at 10 o'clock.
Big night. We're just getting started. Merrick Monday in a moment. We'll touch on all four games tonight on the network, and then Ailish and I will offer some learnings from the weekend. Only six games in the weekend, but it felt like we had a full plate.
We're going to try to get to the bottom of the William Nylander situation at 6:30 with Luke Fox from TD Garden. Lots have been up in the air today. We'll have something solidified before puck drops. So stick with us. Game 2 with our Maple Leafs pregame show in about 30 minutes.
And the Blue Jays open a four-game set with the Kansas City Royals. Sportsnet 1, 7:30 and Sportsnet 590. The Fans Night. We'll touch on that a little bit, maybe in best bets.
Okay, we're going to have Jeff Merrick join us in a few moments here. But before we came on the air, Lindy Ruff, the new head coach, or old new head coach, what decade and year is it of the Buffalo Sabres? I don't know if that's where Buffalo Sabres fans wanted the direction to go, but that seems to be the next head coach penciled in and written now in ink.
Yeah, I'm not sure like it's totally surprising. Obviously, there's some pretty serious ties between Lindy Ruff and the Buffalo Sabres. But you'd think, given where Buffalo was, maybe an exhaustive search would be there. Now, that's not to say, like, nostalgia is getting in the way of logic because Lindy Ruff is a good coach. But I just wonder about, you know, making sure that you turn over every stone in the search for a coach that's finally going to break what is too long of a drought in terms of playoff appearances.
Yeah, I think this one could have probably, you know, extended past the Stanley Cup playoffs into the offseason to see if there was a different fit, and maybe somebody gets fired. That's what happens sometimes in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Sometimes people lose their jobs. So there might be available coaches, but the Buffalo Sabres have picked Lindy Ruff. Now, we mentioned we've got all four games on the network tonight. We've got Game 2 between Toronto and Boston, Game 1 between LA and Edmonton. That's up on Sportsnet. And Sportsnet 360 will have the Islanders and the Hurricanes at 7:30 and the Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars at 10 o'clock. That's all on Sportsnet 360. Of course, we're going to be dialed in on our pregame show on Leafs and Bruins. But what other game is your must-watch tonight?
Must-watch tonight, I guess it's got to be the Oilers, right? Like, the Oilers and Kings is definitely what has my interest. And it's partly because, hey, there's so much stakes here for the Edmonton Oilers, so much stake for Connor McDavid. It feels like it's their time, and I guess they have to prove that it's their time. But the Golden Knights and Stars is fascinating, right? It is definitely, with Mark Stone coming back, with Alex Petrangelo being around, with the Golden Knights reaching full health all of the sudden against a Dallas Stars team that looks like it could go on a Stanley Cup run. Well, if they get past the first round and the reigning Stanley Cup champions, yeah, that is a really, really interesting storyline. So first impressions with Vegas will definitely be something that I'm interested in, I guess, making on my own tonight.
Okay, let's bring in Jeff Merrick of the Jeff Merrick Show and 32 Thoughts, the podcast. Jeff, happy Monday. This is a playoff version of our Monday chat. We got lots to go through. Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, no problem. Are we going to talk about Nylander? Are we going to talk about Stone? I'm guessing those are Exhibit A's and Exhibit B's here.
We're going to. Let's try to put aside Mark Stone, though, because that has become a little bit... it's become a little bit old hat at this point, and I guess it's because it happens over and over again. But let's start with Nylander. But I don't want to start about, you know, like what's going on, because if we knew, we'd know, right? If we all knew what was happening with William Nylander, well, it would be reported right now. So let's talk about the consequences of not having Nylander. How has just losing Nylander up in smoke vanished? And I know he's skating in Boston, but probably not playing or didn't play game one at the very least. Like, how has that impacted the entire organism? How has it disrupted what the Maple Leafs had planned with this first round series with the Boston Bruins?
Easy zone entries. Like, when you look at the skill set that Nylander brings, and if you look at, you know, the Boston Bruins, who have, you know, a pretty formidable blue line back there, the one thing that Nylander does is he gets you the zone easy. He gets you the zone quickly. Then you can set up and you can do your damage. That is one of the areas that without Nylander in the lineup, the Maple Leafs are woefully lacking. Now, how many times have you two been asked just today, what's up with Nylander? Just walking around, maybe a text, maybe a phone call. It's double digits, but how? Because I'm just at a rink right now with my son, and I've had about five or six parents come up to me, and the first question is, what's up with Nylander? How's it been for you two?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as popular as Jeff Merrick, but I fielded a few questions. But I guess maybe this is a broader question. Like, is there a way to have dealt with this better, that the story isn't Nylander today? That's just the way that the Maple Leafs do it, or that's the way that Sheldon Keefe does it?
You know, I'll tell you what, Ailish. I really thought that as the NHL cozied up with the world of sports gambling more and more, that this would change, even in the playoffs. And even if you were compelled to release some type of information, as vague as it might be, upper body, lower body, however you want to describe it, I thought as the NHL sort of cozied up to sports gambling, that more information would become available or teams would be compelled to do so. Clearly, I was wrong. Not the first time I've been wrong. And listen, teams are under no obligation. And as we know, well, two things. One, they're under no obligation to reveal any type of injury information. And two, I'll be honest with you, I don't think they'd tell the truth. There is no incentive. Like, if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs right now, or any team with an injured player, what's your incentive of revealing it, unless you're absolutely obliged to? There is no win whatsoever. I understand that it's frustrating. I understand that these are paying customers. And you should, you know, respect them as much as you can by sharing, you know, as much information as you can. You know, they have the nerve to keep the lights on, but they're in the business of trying to win a Stanley Cup here. And anything that brings them closer, they will do. And anything that takes them farther away, they won't. So until they're compelled by the NHL to release information, albeit as slight as upper body, lower body, I think this is just something as frustrating as it might be that we should just continue to get used to.
Yeah, I see your point. I am, and you're mentioning, yeah, people are going to be bothered by it. I am bothered by it. I mean, the fact that, like, I'm not a card-carrying member of the Leafs fan base by any stretch of the imagination, but to not be upfront and open about what's going on, even whatsoever, and to let this cloud of secrecy kind of create something that is probably beyond what they want it to be, or definitely beyond what they want it to be. I mean, I feel like there's some obligation to the fans that have been waiting forever. And then you're shorthanded going into a series, and then you're just like, we don't really want to tell you what's going on. And you'll have to wait and see if you'll see William Nylander in this series. I just think it rubs me the wrong way, because I feel like they should be more in tune with their fan base and less about, you know, hey, what sort of modicum of advantage we can withhold or continue to have if we're a little less honest about what's going on with William Nylander in this series. I think, frankly, they should maybe be there should be an exception here, because I don't know. I think this fan base deserves a little bit more than that.
Now, I understand all that. And as a member of the media, I always encourage, you know, transparency and releasing as much information as possible. But if I worked for the Toronto Maple Leafs, I would say something along the lines of, if we release this information, we think it'll harm our chances at winning a Stanley Cup. Is that worth it to you now? What would the response be from Leafs Nation? Does it matter to you that much? Or do you just say, you know what, less information, the better in this situation. We'll find out at the end of the playoffs. Anyhow, do we need to know now if the Maple Leafs seriously believe that this will harm their chances at advancing in the playoffs and maybe even harm the chances of winning a Stanley Cup?
No, I definitely see your point. And I think that all of this goes away if you start winning games. And Bruins have won the last 8 regular season.
That's
and
exactly right.
8
Ailish.
Regular season and playoff games in a row against the Maple Leafs.
The fog over this one is they're playing the Bruins and they lost again.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we could be writing a very different script to our show, and you did as well today, if the Leafs had won this game and Nylander's injury 100%. Was something that wasn't as important. So I guess for you, like, you know, tonight if the Bruins win, they can set a new mark for their longest winning streak in this rivalry, which goes back forever with 9. So maybe it's time to just, like, ask the question if the Bruins are just simply perfectly built to beat the Maple Leafs, and maybe just the Maple Leafs, like the way that they have gone into this streak, 8 consecutive, going back to last year. If people were kind of happy that maybe the Leafs got the Bruins, and maybe we should be changing our tune, maybe.
I kind of think the Florida Panthers are better built to beat, you know, not just the Toronto Maple Leafs, but, you know, everybody in the Eastern Conference. I thought if the Maple Leafs were gonna pick a team here, it would have been the Boston Bruins. Look, again, no Bergeron, no Krejci. You know, weakened down the middle. To take nothing away from Charlie Coyle, who's had a wonderful season, or Pavel Zacha, who's had a wonderful season as well. Like, again, if I would have told you at the end of last year, hey, you're gonna face the Boston Bruins next year, but guess what? Bergeron and Krejci will have retired. Everyone in Maple Leafs Nation would have said that, yeah, sign me up for that all day instead of playing the murderer's row that is, you know, Barkov and Reinhardt and Bennett and, you know, like, you, no thanks. I don't want any part of that. I really do wonder, and I don't think this is necessarily true of the Leafs players as much as it is the fan base. You know, there's a sort of element of, you know, help rid me of the ghost that I have summoned here. You know, so much of the Boston Bruins lived in between the years, and that goes back to, 1959, the last time the Maple Leafs beat the Boston Bruins in a playoff series here. I think it exists in between the years for the Maple Leafs because, you know, long-term history and recent history says that this team can't beat the Boston Bruins, much like, and, you know, the Washington Capitals know this better than anybody else. Remember the Ovechkin can never beat Crosby story? Mm-hmm. Remember the Washington can never beat Pittsburgh story? That was true until it wasn't in 2018. Like, again, I hate to be the it's early guy, but it's early. It's one game. Like, no one's in trouble. Like, no one's in trouble in the playoffs right now. Even as bad as, you know, Colorado's goaltending looked last night, no one's in trouble. All the home teams won. Mm-hmm. Everyone did what they were supposed to do. All the home teams won here. Let's breathe a little here. It's game one. Let's see what happens tonight.
We've got another game opportunity for a home team to win. That's Kings and Oilers. That's at 10 p.m. on Sportsnet. Now, I guess we always try to draw regular season narratives or parallels into a postseason. And if you're going to draw one for the Oilers, it would be that they learned a lot this season. Fortitude, leadership, perseverance, coming from the bottom to a playoff spot. And I wonder for you, does that make them literally and figuratively more dangerous come the playoffs when they start tonight?
First of all, I think this is a great team to begin with. I think there's some concerns. Like, first of all, they need Evander Kane healthy. They need Evander Kane productive. They need that forecheck. They need that shot. They need that physicality. I'll tell you what, here we are just coming off a conversation about William Nylander. How about Evander Kane just sort of blurting out, yeah, I'm fighting through a sports hernia. Mm-hmm. Like, just like nothing. Just like, you know, just having a bag of potato chips waiting for the bus. Oh, yeah, I'm fighting through a sports hernia. They're going to need him. They're going to need Ryan Nugent-Hopkins better. I know one of the issues with the Oilers has been blue line. When Elliot and I were in Edmonton at the beginning of the season, you know, the mantra was very much cup or bust. Like, that's it. That's how they're judging the season. I think in this series, the first goal is really important. You know, this was a Los Angeles Kings team that can shut it down and sit on a game. We've seen them do that countless times. It's not the most exciting team to play, and they have a lot of question marks, and it starts with Pierre-Luc Dubois specifically. Like, can this team do anything without Pierre-Luc Dubois? This is a better Oilers team. This is a more veteran Oilers team. This is an experienced Oilers team, and provided they're healthy, this is an Oilers team that should be able to get past the Los Angeles Kings without a ton of difficulty. One of the big questions for me, though, is still, and this exists on the Kings side as well with Talbot, how's the goaltending going to be? Because we know what we're getting from McDavid. You know what you're getting from Ekholm. You know what you're getting from Dreisaitl, et cetera. Go right down the line. What are you going to get from Stuart Skinner? It wasn't an area that they felt they needed to address at trade deadline time. They felt that they had enough to win without going out there and playing in the goaltending market. I really do wonder if this thing all comes down to goaltending, Cam Talbot versus Stuart Skinner, who has the advantage here?
Last one for you, Merrick. You'll find Golden Knights and Stars Game 1 on Sportsnet 360 tonight. It's great that Mark Stone's coming back and that, you know, the spleen is less lacerated this time of year. And the appendectomy for Alex Pietrangelo came, you know, a couple weeks before the playoffs started. But, you know, flipping a switch is not always that easy, especially coming after pretty serious things, right? This team went really far last year. This team doesn't seem like it's the same, and they've got a really difficult task. Do you just trust still, despite all that, that the Golden Knights will just be like, yeah, it's game one. We're ready to go.
We'll see. I still do wonder how Stone's going to be coming back after this injury. I do wonder about Alex Pietrangelo too. And in a lot of ways, I do wonder about Pietrangelo more than I do about Stone. I think that so much of how the Vegas Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup last year revolved around that blue line and specifically Alex Pietrangelo. I'll tell you what, Dallas, provided that Jake Oettinger is playing well, they might be the scariest team in the playoffs. Like, I would not be surprised if at the end of this, it's the Dallas Stars who end up winning the Stanley Cup here, which is weird because a few years ago, everybody was getting traded and everybody was getting fired. Now all Jim Mill has done is opened up, you know, windows every time he makes a trade. This is now a team that's got a window open to win the Stanley Cup for a number of years. They're probably the deepest team in the postseason. And I think that, you know, outside of Vegas, because they just have that thing and they know when to turn it on and off, the Dallas Stars should be the team that comes out of the Western Conference. But I'll tell you what, thinking about this today and mentioning this on the show today, you look at all the series in the West, every single one. Is there potential for any upsets here? Like, no matter how any series ends, is it possible to say in the West this year, oh, that was an upset? And that includes the Dallas Stars and the Vegas Golden Knights, essentially a 1-8 here. Because Vegas, the defending Stanley Cup champions, they've gone through their injury woes. We all know how this team can play come playoff time. Would it be an upset if they beat Dallas? No. Would it be an upset if Colorado came back and beat Winnipeg? No. Would it be an upset if the Vancouver Canucks beat, you know, one of the hottest teams down the stretch, the Nashville Predators? No. Like, the West is tough this year. Like, I don't know who's going to come out, but they're going to be beaten up. Yeah. That's the one thing for sure. Like, they're going to play like a lot of hard, tough hockey games here. And I really don't think there are any upsets in the West at all.
Yeah, we're going to see two series begin tonight with the Golden Knights and the Stars and the Oilers and the Kings. Merrick, thanks for jumping on, helping us tee everything up. And tell everybody you don't know anything about William Nylander at the rink tonight, all right?
I know. Hey, I want to ask you something really quick. What was it like being in the sea of 21,000?
Oh, that was amazing. Honestly, such an incredible experience. This weekend I was at the Bell Center, for those that didn't see, for the Montreal PWHL, Toronto PWHL game, which set a world record in attendance.
Yeah.
And it was loud. It was 21,000 plus, all screaming Marie-Philippe Poulin's name at the beginning of the game, and I was overwhelmed. It was really spectacular, and too bad the Montreal girls couldn't get it done, but an OT thriller nonetheless, so I had an absolute blast. Looking forward to seeing more records being broken, too.
I was going to say they might need to go outdoors to get the next record broken.
I think they must have to.
Outdoor game on their high. I'll tell you what, I'll close on this one. I really thought that Marie-Philippe Poulin was kind, even though she shouldn't have been, was kind of surprised and overwhelmed at the reaction. Mm-hmm. I thought she was going to break down. I know I would have.
Yeah. I talked to her after, and she was still kind of stunned by everything. Just like, I can't believe it. I'm like, you should probably believe it. You're Marie-Philippe Poulin. But yeah, she's very humble, right? So she doesn't even understand that there was 21,000+ people there that like probably grew up and have always idolized her, that were all there to see her. So yeah, her being that humble doesn't surprise me anymore. It's crazy.
what I took away from it was, if you had any doubts, how many people want this to work, like really, really want this to work, go see Saturday's game and the 21,000+ at the Bell Center. 21,000
awesome.
People there that really, really want this to work. I think it's a great day for hockey. Not women's hockey. It's a great day for hockey Saturday.
Très bien.
Très bien. Merci beaucoup.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Merrick. I'm Jeff Merrick, show on 30,000 Podcast. Au revoir.
I'm never comfortable or confident with my au revoirs.
That's definitely not correct.
Good. But it doesn't sound good when it
comes. I didn't speak much French this weekend. I just said, yay. Go team, go. Okay. We went through a bunch of the series that we'll have later on Sportsnet, but we'll take a quick second here to take a look at the six games that we have already seen passed. Crazy enough, all home teams won. I know Jeff mentioned that, but if the Dallas Stars and the Edmonton Oilers also win tonight, it would be the first time in NBA and NHL history that all 16 home teams in both playoffs won game one of the playoffs. I don't know. I just think that's kind of crazy. That's cool if you're looking at betting the two home teams tonight. Maybe home ice advantage is more important than we had thought. Won't get into that now, but
maybe it is. I don't even know if there were any big upsets there, though. Maybe it's just a chalky sort of year, despite the fact that we look at, you know, especially the Western Conference and the NHL being anyone's to win. But yeah, it's interesting that all the home teams have held serve to this point.
Okay, so we did see the following. Obviously, we saw Florida beat Tampa, New York beat Washington, Boston beat Toronto, Carolina beat the Islanders. We're going to see Dallas and Vegas tonight. We saw Vancouver beat Nashville. Winnipeg beat Colorado. That was an amazing game. And Edmonton will play the Kings tonight. Biggest takeaways from that?
I guess it's still on the topic of home, and it's specifically Canadian homes. It's just a reminder of how awesome it is when Canadian fan bases are activated in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, Vancouver, we haven't seen it since, what, 2015, mm-hmm. at least in Vancouver. And just the music, the fans, the excitement, everything that goes into it, it's just, you can't compare it. And the whiteout in Winnipeg and the craziness of that game, like we've been talking all year.
It was so amazing.
Talking all year about, like, Winnipeg's not selling out. What's the problem? And it's like, oh,
they're there. They're
literally everyone who lives in Winnipeg was either in the rink or on the street cheering for this team. It's just, we wait for it all year round. And I guess this is why, because it's nothing like it. And Vancouver and Winnipeg are not there every year. Winnipeg more than Vancouver lately. But it's such a treat to see these Canadian markets as lit up as they were over the weekend, and we'll continue to see it here.
Yeah, Oilers will host the Kings tonight, and then it won't be until later this week that the Maple Leafs will get to host the Bruins. We'll see if that energy continues here to Scotiabank Arena later this week. I loved it. I loved seeing the Canadian teams all get a moment in front of their home crowds. And, yeah, this is a country that is hungry for a Stanley Cup. You saw it. You felt it. I was mostly blown away by that Winnipeg Colorado game. I mean, nobody expected it to be that high scoring. It was a back and forth crazy affair. I think that most people that are supporters of the Avalanche or have the Avalanche going far in their bracket are feeling a little bit less comfortable about their goaltending situation. My Bulgarian boy. It wasn't a great start. I mean, I think that that was probably going to be the Achilles heel, and it kind of got exposed in game one.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it seems pretty simple that it's going to be really difficult to win a Stanley Cup with Georgiev, but Anunin is an option for them and probably a better one at this point. And they made a move, brought up a goaltender today. So maybe Colorado, you know, makes a pretty significant move early on. Like they've seen enough after just one game to make a change in goal. But that team, despite the problems, the clear issue, they were able to have that game played on their terms, which is interesting, right? Because if they just get a save or two or three or whatever it's going to need, like 800 goaltending in that game, and they win comfortably because they played it the way they would want it to be played as opposed to what Winnipeg would prefer. So I don't think that one's done yet, but I think it's going to require Colorado to do something pretty drastic in net.
Yeah, 7-6 win for the Jets last night. Rempe mania was amazing. If you watched our show last week, have the Rangers winning the cup. So what a start for them. What a start for their fourth line. Matt Rempe, who's obviously had quite the, I guess, folklore of a start to his season, his inaugural season in NHL, career, his career, gets on the board first in the playoffs. It was really awesome to watch that. Feeling good about my pick for the Rangers. They're looking hot already. You have a thought about Florida?
Just the Floridas, like, if they were playing any other team, it might be a different story because both of them looked incredible. I mean, Tampa, you cannot kill them. And Florida held Tampa to, like, 12 shots with 15 minutes left in the third period. Like, these are two really elite teams, and I hope that one goes seven just so we can see them continue to go back and forth.
Okay, let's take a quick look at some best bets for tonight before we take a break. We're going to shift over to Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Before we do that, kind of joked about it a little bit earlier with Jeff Merrick, but Mark Stone is making his return to the lineup tonight. If you've seen it before, he has come back many, many Aprils. It's like a reoccurring thing. Activated him from LTIR today. He's going to make his playoff start tonight. So I'm going to have Mark Stone goal at plus 300 just for the story, for the narrative, for the Twitter, for everybody to get angry. I just picture it either going super bad for him, where he's been forced into this too soon, or he's going to come out and probably get the first goal of the game.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would be surprised if Mark Stone had an impact tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights. I'll go the over Edmonton and LA. I just talked about a team dictating terms and Colorado kind of doing that. A 13-goal game is definitely more of a Colorado game. Well, this line implies that you're going to get LA's terms, which is a low-scoring game. I think Edmonton's the better team. I think Edmonton gets their game and it goes over. And I pride myself on mining value out of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is the third longest tenured Oiler. His cup handoff, first to touch the cup after the captain, is plus 1,800. I think that's 1-1 with the Oilers winning the cup, and the Oilers to win the cup's like plus 800 right now.
Okay. Justin and his futures. Kikuchi and the Blue Jays on the mound a little later tonight as well. We're going to have them up on Sportsnet 1 against Kansas City at 7:30. We'll take a quick break. You can catch us on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590. And Hockey Central will have you up on Sportsnet. Lots of hockey to come, so stay tuned.